Welcome to the Dad's Night Podcast, where ridiculous becomes reality. We're your dad hosts. I'm Chris Parrish.
And I'm Tommy Reed.
Today we're joined by iconic TV actor and Hollywood legend David Faustino. We'll talk to him about what it was like to help the Fox Network become the behemoth it is now, growing up in Hollywood and raising baby number two. We'll also recap a crazy weekend in Manhattan Beach, as well as an update on Tommy's BCS championship game at SoFi. This podcast is brought to you by the Believe Network.
That was fantastic. What a great opening, Chris.
Oh, I appreciate that. I've been working on it, actually.
I mean,
after last week.
Yeah, I mean, let's just get into our three dubs. Where you going, what you doing, and what you're excited about. Brought to you by thepostal.io. Hey, dads, what's the easiest way to delight your customers and prospects? Sending one-of-a-kind corporate gifts with Postal's offline marketing software. Postal helps companies to create meaningful connections at scale while tracking it all in your CRM. Learn more and get a free trial at postal.io/dad. All right.
That was the smoothest.
Thank you.
Smoothest I've ever heard.
Here we go. Stuff. I'm getting better and better. It feels good to have a sponsor.
Yeah, so again, really good. Thank you to postal.io.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, postal.io. So, Chris, what are you excited about that you did this past weekend?
Well, I tell you what, Tommy. It was an action-packed weekend. It started Friday. Nice little birthday party for my buddy T-Bone. He blocked off Walnut Avenue, which was great. Taco trucks. He had some ice cream. Good party, but that was just a precursor. This has never happened before to me. We got invited to the Manhattan Beach wine auction on Saturday night.
Mom prom at Manhattan Beach.
I've heard stories. I've heard legends. I've seen people come out of there with auction items they don't remember. But this
did
was.
Did you wear pink and sky blue or salmon pants?
Actually, what I did is I took a trip down to my local Nordstrom Rack.
And
I picked up a Madras jacket.
There you go.
Very understated.
Love it.
And my buddy Jim, his company got a table. These things go for like $12,000. And yep. So he invited Amy and I to this thing. And so it starts at 4. And we came fashionably late at 4:30. At 4:30 in 1 second, you're handed some wine.
Yep.
I found the beer from Hermosa Brewery, which is fantastic. We should have them donate. Their blonde ale was fantastic. But you just, I mean, it's... They take the Manhattan Beach Country Club, Tommy. They take like 7 of the tennis courts, and it's just covered in carpet. You got sponsors, all these local sponsors, Strand House.
Yep, my buddy Kush was a sponsor in the reserve room, Donnellan Wines.
There's a reserve room?
Yep, and I've been there 4 times. So wow. I actually missed this wine auction because I was celebrating myself. But we'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
So tell me about it. What was your favorite wine? What was your favorite food there? I mean, did you like...
How wasted did you get?
So I didn't get wasted. There was a little caveat for me this year because my daughter, we had committed, she went to a birthday party Saturday night, and I had to leave and take her. This probably helped me.
Yeah.
So I left at 5:30, picked her up, took her there.
Sloshed.
No. I had paced myself, yeah. I had my driver take me and got her to Hermosa, had a beer there, came back, took a while to get an Uber, and man, night and day between 5:30 and 7.
So you left your wife at... The wine auction?
I did.
Woo! That is ballsy, man.
I know. I came back. I found out I was divorced. It was the worst.
Exactly.
Why? Why is that so bad?
Because there's so many stories that go on. It's like urban legends of stories that go on there.
Of like
I mean, crazy stuff that you don't even know.
Dude's trying to steal your check?
Oh, dude. Like women hooking up with the guys that who are the help there. I don't even know what the stories are. But I mean, all I know is that you see a total array of like... rainbow colors dresses
a lot.
On.
There's
like
just a lot.
I mean, there's just like neon orange.
And I would say this,
Botox.
The easiest way to summarize is you see a lot more of people you know than you've seen before. a lot less fabric is involved in that evening. So, you know.
Did any moms fall down? Did you see any of them slip and miss a stair or anything?
I heard some rumors of some falling.
Yeah, of course.
Not too much happened, you know, while I was there. I brought in some talls. In my jacket pocket when I came back because I'm more of a beer guy than wine.
Stash.
Yeah, and that was a big hit. Couple talls in Montucky.
Oof.
And then let's see. And then they sit you down, and then there's this auction, and it's a big pissing contest. And
right.
Yeah, you're bidding on private jets.
I did a pissing contest with Tony Danza over my dog Sophie. I went to 10 grand. Fucking Tony stopped at 9.5. I was like, really?
But this was not your dog yet.
No, but it is.
He wasn't bidding on a dog you already owned.
No,
because that's a classic Tony Danza.
Who's the boss?
It is the biggest fundraiser that Manhattan Beach school system does have, the MBEF. Yeah. So, it's fun. It's a really fun,
gorgeous event. It's fun to
those
see your friends.
Those that love wine and food, it is a must attend at least once,
yes,
if not like four or five times. But I didn't go.
You were missed.
Everybody was asking about you. I did not miss it this year.
I was
year.
Like chopped liver.
I was celebrating.
Yeah, let's hear. I've been waiting for this.
Our SoFi Super Bowl championship.
Just
we won it, baby.
Unbelievable.
The DA Buckeyes won it. Van and I are undefeated champs. We are coaches, mm-hmm, of the DA Buckeyes, and we took it home. We beat the Auburn Tigers.
Nice.
To a shutout.
Nice.
Three first downs only. We had over 13 sacks. My son had 4 sacks.
Wow.
Played the best game he's ever played this year.
Just 4, huh?
Yeah. I mean, he did everything I asked him and prepared him to
do. You should have got a beating him.
And then we had a key interception by Mason Jennings. It was phenomenal. And then,
he's got a nose
game
for the football.
And then we get our trophies, and Harrison Cornell winds up being the league's MVP.
Not surprising.
So
I've been following that kid all year.
Oh, I mean, he's got Reggie Bush moves. It was unbelievable. But very excited. I made a special tribute video that, mm-hmm, Friday before the Saturday's game, and I had some really cool people come out. Yeah, I sent it to you. You saw it. Unbelievable. It was our hype video. All the parents said some nice hype things to get them, like they're how happy they are, and just play your hearts out. It resonated.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had some in and out, and then I sent them all, go to bed and get your best night's sleep, because tomorrow I need 110 from you. And then the next morning, we got a party bus with a bathroom to SoFi, and all the parents, we get there. It was great. And then we go, we win. I go back over to Vans. We celebrate, and we open a bottle of Johnny Blue that went in quick. So
that's a nice blend.
That was my evening. It was perfect. I was extremely happy. Sounds like we had a great weekend, both of us. I'm really excited about what's going on this weekend.
This is the thing here. This is why we're doing this.
This is why we have the podcast. We are taking a moment to celebrate the success,
mm-hmm,
of all the dads together that we want to be around. We're going to raise a glass and be just very happy, excited about our successes in life. And there's a lot of things to be
this
very
Saturday.
Happy about. Yeah, it is. And it's an invite only. And it's
this
a
Saturday,
bad Hawaiian
dad's night at Tommy's
shirt.
House.
That's right.
We can't give out the address. This is top secret.
No, you can't. But really excited about that.
But you can Google it if you'd like. Go ahead.
Yep, that's right. But you know what's even more exciting?
Tell me.
We have somebody who is a friend of mine for over 25 years, came to my wedding. I've met him very long time ago. Ladies and gentlemen, the David Faustino. Yay!
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
So hold on. So you got here about a half hour ago.
I did.
And I've just been watching you two.
Yeah.
And I think you must know each other for 50 years, the way you're going back and forth. How did you guys meet? How did you guys get together?
Well, I remember the very first time I met Tommy was we were out doing it. We all signed up for the New York Film Academy film school for a 2-month program?
Two-month intensive.
2-month intensive. For better or for worse, I'll put it that way. This company was in the very infancy of it was its first thing. Now it's expanded 100-fold. So it's a new thing. But it was a little rickety. It was a little janky.
We were still cutting 16mm film on Steinbeck.
How old were you here?
So there wasn't even digital yet.
We were
22,
23,
around that.
Right, 10 years ago.
So it was 97.
So my friend, my best friend Dan,
Dan Eisenstein,
who Tommy loves,
friend of the pod,
and he came out and he got here. I had to finish working, so I came a little late. First time I met you was coming into either Dan's apartment or apartment in New York City. And you sat up and you gave me a nice big fucking smile. And you were like, oh, this motherfucker really did come. And
yeah, because this is how it all happened. Dan said it was day one. We had to split up your film crew into 4.
Okay.
So it was me, Dan, and this other Canadian guy, Justin Connor?
Justin Connor.
He's a real hoser.
No, but he was like
a real hoser.
He was like a BMX or skateboarder dude.
He's like the most really lovable nice guy. idiot you could ever meet in your life.
Yeah, super nice guy. And then I'm like, okay, well, we need a fourth. He's like, and Dan's like, no, I got the fourth covered from my buddy. And I'm like, well, who's your buddy? He's like, I can't tell you. You'll meet him tomorrow. I said, dude, we have to pick our film crew right now. I want Rolf. I want the German cinematographer guy. We're going to have great looking stuff. He's like,
meanwhile, did you see his finished product?
No, ours is much better. Because, yeah, I know, because we were the best. But anyway, so I was kind of upset. And Dan's like, you got to trust me on this. I'm like, dude, who is this guy? He's like, you're going to be so freaking happy. I said, okay. Well, I got pissed off. We went out for some beers. The next morning, we all get to class. There's still not the fourth there. And I'm like, what the fuck, Dan? He's like, dude, he's coming in. His flight just got delayed.
Busy man.
Trust me. I'm like, oh, man, I'm so pissed off right now. And about a half hour later, in walks in Bud Bundy. Oh,
nice.
And I'm like,
I still remember your face.
And I'm like, no. And then... But I'm like, oh, maybe we have like a guest lecturer or like a famous actor coming in today to speak to us. And then Dan Eisenstein just gets up and just gives Dave the biggest hug. And I'm like, fuck, he's right.
Nice. Now,
and this is like at the height of Married Children.
Yeah.
It's going on. It's 11th season. And it was like it was the number one show in America for like 5-6 years straight. It was a huge, one of the biggest sitcoms
like
ever.
Of all time.
It won 11 seasons, but it was number 1 to 10 for like 7 years.
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, and then plus it went in every country in syndicate for like, I'd be over in Italy and I'd see Married Children in Italian.
It's in everything.
You know, I mean,
Israeli, it's more, I would say that it's as popular in Israel than it is in the States.
Really?
Dude, most of my fan mails, my cameos, everything comes from Israel.
But I mean like Germany,
they love
everywhere.
That shit.
Everywhere.
Oh, and Germany.
I mean, yeah. So we're sitting
like
you
Hasselhoff.
Know, I mean, look, I mean
right.
It just became a guerrilla filmmaking intensive workshop that we just did things ourselves.
To interrupt. So were you filming in LA and then you were coming to New York for this?
Exactly. Okay. I was finishing up.
So that's why you're coming in off a plane.
I was coming in late because I was finishing a job.
And then so we would basically go around Union Square Park where it was located.
Which at the time, let's talk about it.
It was awesome.
The summer in Union Square in Union Square Park is just the girls are just ready to shed all of their clothing.
Yeah,
and it's just mind-boggling to walk. And you know that Warhol Studio was right there.
Well, not only that, Ford Modeling Agency was around the corner. Yeah. So literally, you'd go out for lunch and have lunch breaks, and like you see supermodels walking around. Unbelievable.
We were just like
so. Naturally, we would go around and say, hey, do you want to be in a student film? They're like, who's student film? And I'm like, then I point to Dave, and they're like, is that Bud? I'm like, yes, it is.
They threw the bait
Excuse
out.
Excuse me, supermodel, would you like to be in my student film?
And so we would get like crazy models in Dave's short films.
Do you know who the little girl ended up becoming? The girl that was in the my movie that played the seductress?
In the final, in your final, because we each made
in the
films.
Final one.
Meryl Streep.
No, I don't remember.
She became Natasha Leggero.
No way.
The comedian.
No way.
That's Natasha Leggero.
Funny. No shit.
That's who we had in our short film.
How did we
film.
Get her? We just, you cast
she
her?
She was just beginning.
Oh my God.
We threw out a casting call. That's how driven she is. Look at
wow.
Where she's at now.
That's unbelievable. So that's
Natasha Leggero is the girl.
Needless to say, when we were in New York City in film school, it was just, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Between, I mean, I'd go back to New Jersey, but then if I stayed in the weekend in the city, I'd either stay at
Dave's.
Because
you haven't moved here yet at this time.
No, I'm still commuting back and forth. Because I just graduated Ohio State,
yeah.
And I'm going back and forth. And I'm like, okay, guys, I got to go. And then Dan and Dave were like, no, just spend the night at our place and crash. So I crashed a lot at their places. And obviously, Dave had a nicer place than Dan. but they were both freaking amazing. They're great apartments.
Yeah.
And we just go have a great time. To the point where, like, we would go into...
We were staying in, like, Chelsea.
Yeah, but Dan was still, like, right around... He was closer to Union Square Park. Wow. You were staying in Chelsea because you were
Chelsea.
A baller.
Yeah.
Okay? And then we'll
still
all of a
sudden, are a baller,
yeah, I mean... So we would go to, like, parties, and we'd go to bars in New York. Like, we went to, like, Sky Bar, and it was, like, pumping in New York City.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, Faustina would just go to the door guy, and he wouldn't even question. He'd be like, how many? He just asked Dave, how many you got? He's like, oh, these four, these six, or whatever it was. He had his little posse. We were his posse.
Yeah.
Can I speak on that for 1 second?
Yeah.
Because Say there's another giant celebrity. I'm just riffing here, but
Dr. Dre.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, the
no. It's Bieber, guys like this on shows. My character, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm actually giving props to the writers. They developed this character as such a non-threatening dude that guys could relate with.
Yep.
That crossed all racial lines, all color lines, all class lines, everything. He became such a lovable character. So, and a lot in the black community. The black community was giant and is still a giant, giant lover of the show.
Yeah.
And so these guys, what happened was, and you can attest to this, even though, like, you could have a big celebrity come through and some of the dudes would be like, you know, okay, we're going to try and work this out, blah, blah, blah. But when they'd see Bud Bundy, there was this
smile.
Everything dropped.
I got it right now.
Everything dropped. It was like,
get over here,
that motherfucker. That
exactly.
And they would just be like, come on.
And that's what happened. So we'd get a table, and then Dr. Dre would be like, get over here. And Dave's like, well, I got Mike. He's like, bring them all over. And then we get to this table, and there's Marcus Allen and all these other like big dudes, you know? And we're like, holy shit. So I remember this vividly one time that like, I think Dr. Dre ordered like a round of Johnny Blue shots.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Not chill.
He can afford it right now.
Well, you know, and then so all of a sudden, you know, of course, like.
He's a doctor.
I slammed mine. I didn't sip it.
Decent money.
And I basically, oh, it hit me out so hard that like I just turned and vomited right on Marcus Allen.
No, I mean, which you don't ever want to do that.
Oh my God, what did I just do?
Did he? Wow.
Yeah, and so they didn't kick us out, but he was just like, bro, what are you doing? And he was just pissed off. Thank God he had another shirt underneath it. I took it off and threw it off, but. You're like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, I'll never forget it. But sorry.
Did the doctor see this happen?
Of course. Everyone did.
So he saw you reject
the doctor rushed to the scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, hooked it all up.
Do we have any professionals?
Yeah. And then on the side, he had an MP, and he was making pizza on his MP while he was doing it. He was getting some of his groans and grunts to sample later.
They made four number one hits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but like New York City was just, I mean, I'll never forget. It was a great time with you, and
it really was.
It was something of a film school that nobody but you, Dan, and I can really, you know, and Justin, you know, and I don't know where he is today. I haven't kept in touch with him in 25 years.
Yeah, I've seen him.
He's listening.
Have you? Oh, that's awesome. Okay, but
several times.
I mean, you and Dan were at my wedding. You guys are like some of my closest friends in LA. You guys are the reason why I moved out to LA. So thank you for everything. I love it.
Well, I guess thank you for me. Now I have Tommy.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't know I had to thank you. Thank
like,
I appreciate
like,
that.
They took me underneath their wing and like showed me, you know, L.A. for like the first couple years. And it was just awesome. And I'll never forget it. And then to the point where like Dave was so instrumental in so much of my career that when I bought the book Kill the Irishman, I had to prove to the author that I knew famous people.
Right.
And my sister wasn't famous at the time. She wasn't even like clear the fame that Dave had, you know.
Right.
I think she was still doing General Hospital or one of those Young and the Restless. Or
great
like
show,
that.
Though.
Or
tremendous.
Yeah.
One of those. So
I had to do a stint on YNR myself lately.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a great starting point for any actor. Don't get me wrong. But when I brought Dave to Cleveland, and I remember we wore suits, and we.
By the way, that was a fun trip.
I'm gonna get into that.
Do you remember the song that was the theme song of that trip?
The Rolling Stones.
Rolling
Say to
Stones.
Me.
Say
to me. I have.
Make it say to me.
I have.
It
notes.
Was the anthem.
It was the anthem
of that trip.
And all of a sudden, we went there. It was like I don't know if it was February or January
in Ohio.
In Ohio, and all of a sudden. Fucking blizzard just starts hitting.
Not shocking.
And we're going
anyway.
Out, and like we got Dave's like, hey, let's go out. And we're like, okay, well, there was no Ubers back then.
Yeah.
So Dave's just like, dude, just let's get a limousine. I'm like, what? He's like, dude, just let me get a limousine. So Dave orders up this huge super stretch limousine.
Cleveland?
Yep. Me, you, Ran. And we all go out. Dominic Powell and like Nikki B.
The whole crew.
The whole like crew, right? So we all go out. We have dinner at this place called Piccolo Mondo, right in the heart. Of Little Italy in like Cleveland. So you're up in Murray Hill area. We go out there and then all of a sudden we go to the Spy Bar and then all of a sudden, you know, we're like, okay, we're having a good time there. Then we leave to go to this place called Tiffany's VIP Strip Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for like another like hour.
We a strip joint? No, it never happened.
You guys went there for the buffet, I'm assuming.
We did. The buffet is delicious.
Yeah, it is.
For
nice.
The wings.
All
so
you
then
can eat.
After that, we then go to this. They're like, okay, because now everyone knows that Dave's
it's
here, right?
Yeah.
So like Dave's here, Bud Bundy. So they're all going nuts. Then they take us out to an after-hours rave. This is where then this guy comes up to Dave's like, hey, man, you need some security. This guy must have been like, this black guy was like 6'8" and basically wanted to like kind of get Dave his tape of him mixing beats and like rapping and stuff. So that was like at the very end of the night, he gives it to him. But he's like, hey, man, I'm going to be your bodyguard. Didn't charge him anything. He just wanted to be around him and protect him.
Yeah.
So he literally now, Dave has this big, huge bodyguard wherever we're going. So we're going to this rave. We take an elevator up to these crazy places up in Cleveland, right by the right there on the lake, by the flats.
I didn't realize Cleveland had this kind of nightlife.
This is like the mid-90s. So okay. Like 97, it changed like the early 2000s. But it was still like happening. The flats were amazing to deal with. Mind you, it's starting to snow out now.
Yeah.
So now we're going back.
It's starting to get a little depressing.
Well, hold on.
Cleveland's not the most sort of uplifting.
Yeah, but our uplifting party, we had a great time. So basically, we go to this Renaissance Hotel. Ran meets one of the strippers at the Tiffany's bar. So now he's just wooing her the whole time. We lost you.
That's a good use of your mind.
You mean like, you lost me?
Yes. Yeah, so
I don't believe it.
So all of a sudden, we're at the Renaissance Hotel.
He probably left.
And I'm like, Dom, where the hell is Faustino? I don't know where Ran is. No, I don't know where Ran is. I don't know where Faustino is. For some reason, I get into this elevator with Dom, and he and I get in. And you think this guy was like the heavyweight champion of the world. He had a pinstripe suit on, and he must have been like, he had a huge like scar underneath his eyes, and he had a top hat and a bottle of Hennessy.
Mm.
And I'm like, where are you going? And he's like, where do you think I'm going? I'm like, I have no idea where you're going, but can we go? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we follow him. We go into the room, and there's fucking Faustino.
Nice.
We find Faustino in the hotel.
He's like, damn it.
And we're like, oh my God. It was like the power of mushrooms. But yeah. So we find Faustino. Now all of a sudden, like, you know, we Dave, we gotta get out of here. It's a blizzard out, and we're having this great time. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like, I don't know who had a cell phone or something like that, but Rand calls the guy's house and then is like, hey, I'm around the corner. And Dave and I come out. And that song Say to Me comes on in Rand's car. And he comes out like and does like a skid on like the in the snow, because it's a blizzard in Cleveland. And we get in the car, we're like, what are you doing? It's like 5 a.m. We're like, oh my God, how'd you find us? It was the craziest story.
Yeah.
And it just like I wind up getting the book rights like that following week, you know, because
I forgot,
you know,
that's how this story started.
That's it.
Okay.
So that's
Kill
how,
the Irishman.
So he helped me get Kill the Irishman. Nice. It's a very vital, dear to my heart story about then taking Dave to Cleveland after film school, after he took care of me in L.A.
Is that your last time in Cleveland?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it doesn't
but
stick.
I do want to go to Columbus because I want to take my daughter to that zoo out there.
Dude, I'll take you to a Buckeye game.
No, come he wants on. To go to the zoo.
Dude, come on.
We'll
come
go
on.
To a Buckeye game and the zoo. Yeah.
I got you taken care of there.
Okay.
I got you.
She wants to go to the zoo.
My daughter really wants to go to that zoo.
You know what? Let's take her to the zoo. Let's take her to the Columbus Zoo.
We watch it on Disney Channel all the time.
Done. So, big stuff, you know, happening.
I need a beer after
so
that.
I'll get you a beer in a second. So, Dave, let's talk about what it was like making Married with Children. You were just a teen growing up, and then everyone, like America saw you mature.
Yeah.
You became a kid that was what age were you when you started?
Like when I started that show, I was 12, but the thing is, what people don't realize is that I started my career, and I know this sounds bizarre and crazy, but it's the truth. I started my first job was at 3 months old.
Oh my gosh.
Playing Lily Tomlin's daughter. They wanted a girl baby, but she saw me, and she goes.
Well, listen, you're a delightful looking child.
You know, I was cute. I still look like a baby.
Yeah.
So she, all the babies were crying because they were looking at her face, and my baby came in, and she held her, and I came in, she held me, and she goes to my mom into the booth. She goes, "This is the one." And that was the beginning.
That's awesome.
Of it all.
Of your stardom.
Yeah. And then from then it was commercials, Fantasy Island, Family Ties, Love Boat. I mean, all the shit of the era, you know, Highway to Heaven and all that stuff.
Michael Landon?
Mm-hmm. I worked with Michael Landon several times, including on Little House on the Prairie
and
Highway to Heaven. His partner, Victor, I want to say Victor Garber, one of the greatest. He passed away as well. Those guys smoked cigarettes like you wouldn't fucking believe. I mean, they would smoke down to their toes, just All the time. All the time. It was kind of crazy. That was the one thing that was like a little sad to me, was watching him choke those fucking cigarettes down.
So then
after that, you know, lots of work, but I always wanted to land a series. So like I prayed my heart out every night for a series. I don't know why as a kid it was so important to me to land a series. So I pray every night. And lo and behold, I went into audition for Married with Children. I didn't even get a call back. It just didn't go well.
You didn't think you did well, or they were like, man.
They just kind of didn't call me back. And I didn't feel great in the room by any means.
And this is all here, right? Are you living here at this time?
Yeah, and I'm 12, and my mom's waiting in the hallway, as are all the other moms.
All the other moms. Right.
So I go in, and I just feel okay about it. Long story short, they hire another kid to play the role and another Kelly. They shoot the pilot. The kid's the biggest pain in the ass in the entire world. I'm not going to put him on blast and tell you who he is. So they said... They said, these kids got to go. This is not going to work out. We're not going to deal with this stage mom who, well, it was Karen Black, the like 70s actress. It was her son.
Okay.
And so she screwed him out of a job. Meanwhile, they do a recast. My same agent sends me back in. I was like, dude, I already read on this. She's like, just go back in again and try it again. Sneak you in. So I did, and then it felt good. And then the next one, it was a 5 audition process.
Wow.
By the time I got to network, the last audition was 3 guys, 3 boys, 3 Kellys. One of the Kellys was flown out from New York, one of the Buds was flown out from New York. They all went in, did the thing, then they paired Christina and I up, and we went in, and we're reading for network now. Yeah. You're talking a room full of 50 fucking people at the time. Wow. All in suits, and half of them don't need to be there, but they got nothing better to do than to, you know. So Christina and I don't know, dude, there was just a magic that just took over. And it was like, we felt it, the audience in the room felt it. And so I get in the elevator to go back, and I knew I was feeling good, but I ended up writing down with the kid that flew in from New York.
Okay.
And his mom and me and my mom. It's just us four now. And we're going down the elevator, and the kid says to his mom, he says, "Mom, even if I didn't get it, can I still have a sip of champagne in the hotel room tonight?" And she goes, "Yes, darling, you can." But in my little insecure world, I was like, this motherfucker got it. He knows something I don't know. Like, that's even at that age, you know. I was terrified that I had lost it. And lo and behold, by the time we got home, this is the day of answering machines.
Yeah.
We drove from Fox back to our crib in the Valley. There was one message on the machine. It was my agent. She goes, "You're their booming new client on Married with Children."
Holy shit, man, that is so awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that is so great. What a great story that is.
Yeah, and Christina.
And then the rest is history. I mean, like, it became the mega show that
it was.
To the point now where I hear rumors.
Uh-huh.
Of a second reboot of this show. Is this true? I mean, are you allowed to confirm this right now?
Well, I could talk about a few aspects of it. So I had set up what am I looking for? The word when you do a sitcom and then you bring it back. What's it called?
Reboot.
I was in the middle of a reboot. I had a writer, and we went in to pitch it to the head of Sony, the top dude. And he mumbo-jumboed, and he listened, and he said, okay, anything you need, let's talk about this, let's work on this. Crickets. So I finally called Michael G. Moy, one of the original creators, the only original creator that's alive.
Okay.
The other one passed away of lung cancer. All he did was smoke 2 packs of Marlboros a day and drink Coca-Cola.
There's a pattern here.
Yeah. So he died, but he has just as much stake in the show. Therefore, his son did. Long story short, we tried to pitch that. We went and pitched it. They were all excited. Sony was doing fucking backflips. They were like, yes. You know, I brought in the original creator. They're like, yo, let's do this. Meanwhile, one of the sons just fucking put a monkey wrench right into the fucking spokes. And it just stopped the project entirely. He freaked out.
Why?
Flipped out. Because he has a giant ego, and he feels like Sony and the partner I chose, Michael G. Moy. I actually, in a way, shot myself in the foot.
Okay.
But it was the only way for me to bring
The show back.
A showrunner.
Right.
A real tested, true showrunner.
You already made the show.
I didn't know this fucking bad blood was that vicious.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So we failed. Now, because of this new thing, this new idea they have now, which is an animated reboot of the show.
Yeah.
Love it.
Which is all the original cast, but taking place in a 2022 or 23 environment.
Love it.
This is nuts. So this is going to be you guys. Are you like at the same ages as you were 30 years ago?
Exactly.
Or? Oh, man.
But living in this world.
Yeah.
In today's world.
In today's world.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure they're going to draw Kelly just
who's
delicious.
Who's the animators?
It's the Family Guy team.
Oh, my God. That is a hit already.
Make this today,
you're taking
please.
Married with Children and putting it in the Family Guy caricatures.
Yeah.
That's a goldmine.
I mean, I was saying
dude.
This earlier during our pre-production.
That is awesome, Dave.
Yeah,
I was saying earlier, you know, I was up last night. I just couldn't sleep. And so
like,
you were coming on today. And I just started watching old Married clips on YouTube. And
yeah.
it's just,
there's some
it's
funny
nostalgic,
shit.
Number one, because it takes me back to being like, I mean, number one, I think Kelly Bundy was where I realized I was a boy.
Well, yeah. That's where every teenage boy.
And then just you strutting down the stairs, and you always had this to say. And then, yeah. Like,
it was the best Wise Alec remarks ever.
So, it's such a good show.
I mean, it's just, and just great characters. It, yeah. It just resonated with America.
Mm-hmm. It did. And by the way, fun fact, it was the number one show in prisons across America for many, many years, yeah. About 5 years.
Right, because it's
it rivaled only Cops. It was Cops and
wow.
Married with Children. Cops actually would sometimes take the lead. Both Fox shows,
yeah.
And I think they might have been back to back. So it was like their hour. And I'd give you, if I walked into any of those prisons at that time, I would have had a pass. I guarantee you.
Wow.
I guarantee you.
Because Bud Bundy was that iconic.
I saved my own life. I want to tell you a true story really quick. And
please
do. It sounds fake. It sounds weird. It sounds made up. But every single bit of what I'm about to tell you is true. I met a girl who was on doing a guest spot on the show. I took a liking to her. She took a liking. We got attracted to each other. I said, let's go out to dinner. Let's hang out. So we stop at my friend's house on Sycamore and Fountain, which has become a shithole now. So I go up and we're just visiting. I think I got some weed or something. And we go up. We head back down the elevators. We're heading out onto Sycamore. And here comes these two little motherfuckers. I mean, they couldn't have been more than 14 years old. Short, little, just crazy looking. And I could tell right away, like, it was bad. It was trouble. They had this fucking smirk on their face, and they were coming. And the next thing I know, I've never had this happen. I had a gun to my head.
Oh,
I had steel to my temple. And I said, guys, like, you can, whatever you need, like, it's. And then the other kid starts, no, I'm telling you, this is the number one show in prison. This is the heyday of Married with Children.
Right.
The other kid starts looking at me. And he's going, what? And he taps his friend. Wait a minute. Are you fucking, but yes, I am. Yes, I am. They were like, oh shit, motherfucker. Oh, and they literally just backed off into the bushes and let us alone. And we got in her car, bounced out, and that was it. But I feel like I saved.
How old were you then?
And I gave them no money. They didn't even want to take the money after. I was probably 19.
But they were going to rob you. They were going to rob you.
Oh, dude, the guys had steel to my head. They were kids. They were the kind of kids that gangbangers send out to do those kind of crimes. I mean, we could have been
murdered.
That's
crazy.
We could have been murdered.
And they noticed Bud Bundy and they just like stopped. And then
it's not the first time that's happened. It's bizarre.
Well,
it's a lucky character to play.
It's good to be Bud Bundy.
He's non-threatening to men. He's non-threatening to women. And there's nothing that people can go, people just love him because they feel the pain.
Why haven't you done Dancing with the Stars yet?
They offered it to me.
Take that up. Come on, dude. You got to take that up. My wife was going to love you for that.
I know, but you know what? It's a lot of work, and I got other things coming up, and I don't feel like doing it.
I think it'd be great for you. But,
yeah, but you know what? I would fold in rehearsal, and I would fucking tear somebody's face off. And I don't think it's the right environment for me.
Oh, well, then there you go. That's why you're
well,
smart
now you made
doing
a good choice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so you're at 19. were you also running the Ballistics with Dan and Nick Adler at the time? And tell everyone, our listeners, who they are and when the Ballistics happened.
Okay, I'll give you a quick a rundown. So Ballistics was the first hip-hop club on the Sunset Strip, not to mention the first hip-hop club in West Hollywood. Hip-hop at that time, 89, you had to go down to the fucking hood. You had to go East L.A., South L.A., South Central, downtown a little bit. But you weren't getting any fucking hip-hop in Hollywood, West Hollywood, nothing. You know, me and my boys, we wanted to dance to hip-hop. So we would go to these underground clubs and have the best fucking time in the world. It was the greatest. Water the Bush, all these clubs. So finally I said to my partners, Nick Adler, son of the iconic Lou Adler, yeah. Great, great kid. Still friends to this day. He's doing very well. He's the VP of Golden Voice at this point. So he's killing it. Dan Eisenstein, our great, great friend, Dan Eisenstein, who's producing Ballistics with me.
Love Dan.
Documentary. And myself and Robert Gavin, all partners. There was four of us. So we are doing this documentary about the first hip-hop club on the Sunset Strip. It's where Will.i.am was signed by Eazy-E to Ruthless Records. They were the At-Band Clan at the time. When Eazy died, they sort of reinvented themselves and started the Black Eyed Peas. But it all went down to Ballistics. It's where Robin Thicke met Paula Patton. It's where Leo DiCaprio, Tobey Maguire, Soleil Moufry. It's where everybody hung out. So
that's Punky Brewster.
Yeah, I know
the interviews we've gotten so far. I mean, we're done. We got it in the can. I even got Ed O'Neill because he came. I made him come down one night, and I said, Ed, you just got to do me a favor. I want to drag you out on stage and say I brought my dad with me tonight, and just go with me. He goes, oh, fuck it, I'll come over. So he comes, and I said, hey guys, you know I got a special treat. Started to stop the music. Because motherfuckers are like, oh, come on, you know. I said, but it's a special treat. I don't have this very often. My dad came to visit me tonight, and he's here now. Why don't you come out? Dad, Al, and the whole fucking place
ballistic.
They went fucking ballistic.
That is awesome.
And he got on stage, said a couple words, you know, and he had a great time.
Well, and you guys are really still close today.
Very.
Yeah, I know.
Very. Yep. He. We talked all the way here. We talked all day today. I mean, he's a gossip queen. He really is. He likes to get on the phone and sort of start breaking people down.
You still talk to
You still talk to Katie and Christina?
I talk to Christina on at least a weekly basis.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't talk to Katie, and it's not because we have bad blood or anything like that. It's simply, she lives like on the other side of town. She's got like four kids.
Yeah.
She's busy as can be. Yeah. I love her and she loves me.
You guys work amazing together.
Oh, yeah. And I went to her Hollywood, you know, star.
Yeah, I mean, that chemistry of that four is, you know, it's some of the best.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome to hear you guys are getting a second chance at this.
Yeah. Let me preface that to the listeners that the deal is not fully closed yet.
Right.
I've
heard about
many,
it in the
many,
trades
many
of Deadline Hollywood. And
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's,
but I just want to, you know how it is in this business.
Of
until you sign on the dotted line.
Right. Yeah. Until you go up to start recording,
exactly.
Then I got
exactly.
you. But,
yeah.
you know,
we wish
you the
best. All signs point to where, and Christina wants to do it more. Yeah.
Did River Phoenix go to Ballistics?
No, he passed before we started. Okay. Yeah, he passed right before we started.
But, I mean, yes, like, I just saw you guys, because I'm following you on Instagram.
Yeah.
And
Be Real. Fucking, I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, I mean, like, you
have
about
40
a lot of rock stars, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, because, look, Lou Adler also owns Rainbow. What were the places that he owned at the time? Whiskey A Go-Go?
Rainbow, Whiskey A Go-Go.
Roxy?
Roxy. Yeah. And I think
and
he had
rocks.
A part in the Troubadour as well.
Okay, probably.
Does he still own part of the Troubadour?
I don't know if he sold that. He sold his part out from the whiskey.
Okay. So for our listeners, Lou Adler is responsible for producing all the Cheech and Chong movies.
Carol King,
but also then the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
some of the greatest music of all time.
Yep.
He produced, found the talent for, and has one of the best ears. Let me say something about Lou Adler. He's about 87 years old. last time I was at Coachella, he hopped and bopped around in his velvet hoodie like a fucking teenager, dog.
That's great.
And
God
bless
him.
He's in the documentary.
Of course.
Yeah,
fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he's so great in it.
I mean, well, there's no doubt that people always wanted to be around you and hang out with you since the show and since post the show and still today. So I can't wait to see the documentary Ballistics.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I
want
to watch it now.
Thank you. I'm excited. Yeah. I really am excited for you guys to see it. I think it's going to be a really great documentary and I can't wait to share it with you guys.
Great.
And good. I'd like to come back in to promote it when it's time.
Done.
Absolutely.
And promote the animated.
Of course.
Which is probably going to be around fall.
You are a Lifetime
Friends of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Okay.
Now,
what's your friend of the pod? You're
assuming right. It's signed on the dotted line, married with children. Let's assume that happens. Is there going to be any sort of podcast hosts on this show that maybe you need voices for? Like maybe Bud
host.
Goes on a podcast.
We do have beautiful faces for voices.
Yeah, we got good faces for radio.
Well, the thing is, I think we're supposed to be living in Dumpwater, Florida. Mm. So you might want to start working on your redneck accents now.
Yeah, but Florida's got all a bunch of carpetbaggers from New York coming down.
No,
there,
I know
Jersey,
that.
So,
yeah, you could be a pheasant. Yeah.
That's what we do. We drive down I-75. You go to Florida.
That's awesome. That's really exciting, and hopefully there will be some good opportunities for you, and hopefully it gets picked up and goes for a long time.
I just finished a film. I got back from it. Had a great time. A new film called Pet Detectives, but it's it's three kids, 12.
I think my brother James.
Oh
Reed,
shit!
Allison's Roth is
yes.
Danny Roth.
Yes,
is his,
yes. We talked about this.
That's his brother-in-law. That's so. He's related to my family in a way.
Yeah.
His sister married my brother, James.
I forgot, dude. Yeah. We talked about
and then
this,
you,
him
and then
I.
And then you work with Maurice Hall, who's also already on the pod. Wasn't Maurice Hall in that movie, too?
Maurice?
Yes, Mo Hall. He's in that movie, too.
The brother?
Yes.
And he's great.
No.
He played the cop.
Yes, he played the cop. And
that's what
he
Mo does. He plays cops.
Yep, he does. He said that on the pod. He actually was the running back at Ohio State, won the national title.
Wow.
He beat Miami.
Wow.
Yep,
I liked him. We didn't get to talk much because we were only in like two scenes together. But I wanted to say something about the kids in this movie. I want to give them props. It was Gabby. I can't remember all their names right now. But, you could get on a set and it could be a fucking nightmare,
right.
With kids. Mm-hmm. But these kids were professional. They were sweet. They took my daughter in as their friend, even though she's only six. And, to work with kids like that, and I even complimented one of the moms. I just said, your like commitment and focus to your child in this and not pushing him, but being there. And, the kid had a lot of emotional scenes. I said, I hats off to you, man. So they have good parents and they were great kids to work with. Yeah.
Well, you had great parents too, and I remember them both. And my heart is with you always. Along with mine up in heaven.
Yeah.
This is a perfect segue to go right into some good dad stuff right here.
Love it.
You just hit upon it. Yeah, you have a six-year-old daughter.
Uh-huh.
What's her name?
Ava.
Ava Faustino, mm-hmm. And you just had your boy.
I did.
Cassius.
Four months old. We did the four-month-old checkup today.
Oh, boy.
That
how'd that
awesome.
Go?
Congratulations.
Good?
This motherfucker went from like 10 pounds to 18. I mean, dude.
That's good eating.
You don't know that it's my baby. Like, if I hold him, I'm short as fuck, right? But if I hold him standing, it looks like I'm holding like a buddy of mine. Like it's crazy.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's big. He's a big boy.
So what's the feeling like? I mean, you have your boy, you have your girl now, and
it's a little different. I'll explain. Like with my girl, my first daughter, my first child, it was novel. It was exciting. It was also a girl. I wanted a little girl. As a matter of fact, I wanted another little girl. Cassius, don't listen to this. So when we went in for the second test, there was that slight bit of, but I wanted another little girl.
Right.
So I'm surrendering to the boy now. Now, granted, listen, you started in the beginning about how early I started my career and stuff. So let me tell you, I got pulled. I didn't get to play on any fucking sport teams. See, I didn't get to go to baseball. I didn't get to go to football. I didn't do flag football. Soccer. I didn't do soccer. Only at school during the recesses. But on teams, I was kicked off immediately because what was more important in our family was going to get a movie, going to get a job, going to get a commercial. And quite honestly, it was more important to me. And I wasn't a sports guy. I was okay. I was the guy that was like, you know, the buzzer would be buzzing 5-4 and I'd be stuck paralyzed with the ball. And the fucking coach would be like, shoot the fucking ball. And I'd do a chest push, you know. So I wasn't raised on that. So I have this bit of, you know, because I have this bit of nervousness about not knowing these things. I'm very, very fascinated by the art world and graffiti art and paintings and movies and performances and all of those things that I love to share with him. I just, you know, we want to see what kind of kid he is, and I might have to step up my sports game.
Listen, I got to tell you, what you described where you had a daughter, and then when you're trying to, you're finding out what the second one is, you want a second daughter.
You do.
My wife and I went through that exact same thing.
Yeah.
You know, then my son was born, and he is an athlete.
You still hate him?
No, I love him.
Okay.
Yeah.
That or he's awesome.
Occasionally. But he's an athlete, right? And I...
How old is he?
He's seven. He just turned seven a couple months ago. Wow. He just casually picks up every single sport and is awesome at it. And I'm literally terrible at every sport.
Yeah.
You know, and my daughter, like, she plays, and I love coaching her, but, like, she's going to be an artist, right? She can sing, she can dance, she can draw, she's learning piano, all that stuff like that. And that's
me.
I got into art because I wasn't good at anything else.
Right, me too.
But he's going to be an athlete, but, you know, you also, I think you can learn, like, to coach, right? I couldn't do that, but I know how it's supposed to be done.
Hmm. That's cool.
And he still at least admires me a bit from that standpoint.
That's very cool.
And it's the best. The balance between like my daughter, I was just saying to Tommy tonight, like she's turning 11 in a couple weeks. And, you know, I used to live up in Hollywood. I moved here 22 years ago. Mm. And I want to take her before her birthday on like just a daddy-daughter like overnight trip to just go look at some of the stuff in Hollywood. Because, you know, we're down here in a bit of a
bubble. Your wife's going to have FOMO.
she might. She'll be all right. She and the boys sit down and they cuddle, they watch shows. And they don't miss us for one second.
Mommies love their boys.
But with the boy, like, you know, he wants
to... It's like us with our daughter.
Yeah.
Can't get enough.
I mean, but, you know, after dinner tonight, he just wanted to play catch with his dad, right? He doesn't know that his dad sucks.
Right, okay.
He's just playing catch with his dad. So you got that to look forward to.
You got me. I mean, he didn't catch the fucking ball,
well,
right?
Well, you know, Dave, you don't really have to know the sport too well when they're kindergarten to second or third grade.
Just have fun,
it's when they start getting up to, like, the middle school, you have to start.
That's when we got
to
check out.
My daughter, I want to have no interest in sports. She's about dancing, singing,
that's great,
beautiful,
acting, and drawing.
That's great.
Shit.
It's the
best. Awesome.
Yeah.
And that's why you have that bond already, because that's you immediately, you know? So that that's fantastic. What was it like? What was the... how do you now integrate your son's routine with your daughter's routine?
It's difficult. I'm not going to lie. I'm going through a tough time. You know, my wife is not... You know, she had she was older as she had the second baby. It wasn't an easy pregnancy, and quite honestly, he's still that, you know, for men, how it is with us. It takes a minute to connect with a child.
For sure.
I mean, these kids have been living in our significant others for 9 months.
Right.
They've been bonding. They know each other. They know their sounds, their vibrations. They come out to us, and this was even with my daughter a little bit. I didn't know what the fuck to do for the first 6, 9, 12 months.
Right.
You know, and there's that sense of there's not that connection yet because there's no give back. But dude, you know, when you cross that line, right?
Of course.
You go, oh my God, I'm in love with this child.
Yeah.
That hasn't hit me yet with Cassius.
Yeah.
But it's coming because I feel it coming already.
Yeah. And the mom is so important for the first year.
Oh yeah.
That like once you get, I think, over to like the 9 month.
Yeah.
You're gonna start getting a little bit more of a
of
when you bathe them or whatever it is,
changes
diapers. But you're always your main job is to like support.
Were you a good diaper changer?
My son pissed on me all the time.
Yeah, so, well, you got to cover.
This is yesterday.
Yeah, of course I was good. you know, and then you forget for a second, and then also when you have baby number two, I mean, you have some time in between.
I've only changed four diapers in 4 months.
You know what? And don't worry about it right now, because wait till they get bigger. You just need to be around and support Lindsay and just be there, you know, and take care of Ava. Like, you got it, like, because when mom's taking care of Cassius, it's
like there's nothing when you have the second child and it's all over mom or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, Lainey and I used to just be, you know, I'd be like, let's just go to breakfast.
Yep.
Just you and me. Mm-hmm. And she's babbling on about whatever.
Yeah.
And it's important to her.
Yeah.
I just love hearing it.
I can't wait to do that when it's just fucking school year's over this Friday.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's gonna be 6:30 a.m. fucking Bell is killing
me. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Dude, you're not gonna have sleep for a while, buddy.
No, I know. But we just talked to the doc. We go to the best doctor in Beverly Hills. He trained us on the 10-hour sleep thing tonight. We're starting.
Oh, good.
10 hours without.
Is that for you?
That's for the baby and to go for a 10
I need
hours
to get trained
then.
On 10 hours.
Yeah.
Dave,
well,
what...
I have to take things for that.
What life lessons did you get from your parents that helped shape you as a dad?
From my father, I'll start with my father. God rest his soul. He was an angry, 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 angry Sicilian, and I get a lot of my rage and temper from him. However, one of the most supporting people in my career, built me up, told me how great I was, how proud he was. You've lived more life in your fucking 13 years than I have in my whole life. Do you understand that? Like, he loved us. He supported us in that. He pushed us forward, and he did all those things. And he taught me a lot of common sense about money. I wish I had listened to most of it, but when I look back, every single thing he told me, he was right on.
Yeah.
Right on. And he's just a big spirit, a big soul, lots of fun, but also has a very dark side, you know, and that can be difficult. So what I'm learning from my dad is to try to bring the joy of that into the relationship, and to really work on not bringing the other part of it.
It's hard.
Which is difficult, we all know.
Yep. Yeah.
We all have our ups and downs,
yep.
Stress hits, you know, your mortgage is due, your home insurance is due. I mean, you know, stress stacks up on all of us. And you know, the more you make, the more what people don't understand about these celebrities is, you know, a lot of them, the more you make, the more you're fucking spending.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. It's you got to keep fucking working, or you're gonna run out of money. These people are spending what they're getting, most of them.
Yeah. What about your mom? How did she?
My mom was the best fucking girl in the woman the world. She was the one who was the backbone of the whole thing. She's the one who drove us to auditions. She's the one who coached us. She's the one who took us to acting class. She's the one who took us to dancing class. She's the one who memorized every single fucking one of our lines. She's the one who read scripts to us. She's the one who took Mikey on 3 commercial auditions, then picked me up to take me on 3 theatrical auditions, only to win 10% of these motherfuckers.
Sure.
You know? But when you win, it's cool. But I would cry my balls out even at that age, starting at like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, every job I lost, I would just jump in my bed and cry my fucking eyes out. And I don't know why. It's something I just wanted. I enjoyed spending that time with my mother, you know. And
she believed in you. I mean, that's the thing, right?
Right. Like,
you see it now where Tommy and I mean, it's not acting yet, but we're driving to dance, we're driving to sports, we're doing all this stuff, but they like to do it. And you get that time in the car where you're driving to a game.
You grab me.
And you're like, this is just our time to talk. We're going to talk about the game, and do we win or lose or whatever. It's just you and me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like that stuff.
Dave, what do you like to do with your daddy time? What do you do? Where do you go with Ava?
Oh, man, we like to walk our dogs together.
That's great.
We love to take walks through our neighborhood. We have 4 dogs.
Wow. And that's a lot of dog shit.
It is. guess who picks up every single
piece? Of course, that's what my dad said. You pick it up 20 pounds of shit.
Every single fucking piece. And I've got AstroTurf now. I like did my whole backyard up.
Nice.
And so if you don't pick it up, but it's dog special.
Yeah, right.
And I got they give you this
hose. Hose down.
These chemicals to, and it works. And it's beautiful. But if you don't pick up shit every day,
yeah,
it's
like you go out there looking for it.
Oh yeah, I went out today. I was like, yo, just now before this, and I didn't even wash my hands. No, I was like, yo, dog shit picking up time because we had traveled. It had been 3 days.
Yeah,
that's good.
And then I got to go into my daughter's trampoline, which is, you know, it's this high off the fucking floor, and the dogs love to shit and piss under there. So now here I am.
Gotta get new dogs. Yeah.
And I'm
getting underneath the trampoline.
You know, and then I'm getting up.
And
I'm just like, come on, man. No more little dogs.
Yeah.
My next two dogs, I'm going to keep my pit bull. And then I'm getting a Rottweiler and another pit bull. I'm not getting any more small dogs.
No.
I'm done.
How has being a dad changed you?
It's changed me because I want to be better for them, even though I come up short plenty of times. It's made me want to be a better person when I look into my daughter's eyes and she loves me to death.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do anything to fuck that up.
Yeah.
Like even before I came here, she likes to watch animal videos. She's into animal videos. This guy Coyote Peterson. He goes out and picks
KP.
Up huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it KP or CP?
CP, yeah.
CP. So he's dope.
Damn it.
He picks up scorpions and things. I mean, this guy's not scared of any fucking animal on the planet. And he takes a new kid with him each time into, like, the desert and these places. And a lot of these kids aren't afraid at all. They sign up for this because they love bugs. So my daughter, like, forced me to sit there and watch two videos. And she likes to watch videos. We like to play games. We do fucking on the shoulder, like. And I'm Mr. Dad now as far as she's concerned. The baby is under my mom, is right. Under yeah. Mom's control.
Yep.
So now I'm the one up at 6:20 making breakfast.
Sure. That's your role.
Getting the fucking backpack. I mean, it's bizarre. And most of the time, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
There's some days where I'm not feeling so great that I don't. But about 95% of the time.
It's the best.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I dig it.
Yeah. Do you do daddy-daughter dates with her? Just you and her? You and Ava?
Oh, Ava and I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where do you like to take her?
She loves Mel's Diner, bro. She just does.
Who doesn't?
She just loves
the one on Sunset.
Yeah,
that's right by your house.
So
right?
I live up that street.
Okay.
So we just walked down.
I used to play shows at Whiskey, and then we'd go to Mel's Diner.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I'm five houses above that.
Nice.
So we walk down. The whole staff knows her. I know the whole staff because what I love about Mel's, I will say this, even though they're a little pricey, dude, they take care of their employees.
Mm-hmm.
They give them benefits.
That's
they
great.
Pay them like good wages. They get to keep their tips. And they are a great company. These are lifelong servers.
That's
that
awesome.
There. And
that's
I've great. Known them since I fucking moved in. I've watched them all get decrepit and old, and I'm sure they're thinking the same thing of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I love going into a restaurant where it's almost like Cheers. It's like, you know, everybody knows your
name. I've just been coming here.
Huh?
I've just been coming here. This is where I've been going,
this
right?
This is it. Yeah. So she loves that. She loves pancakes.
I know you're really big into music, and you always, like, on Instagram, you do, like, a hip-hop, you know, you mix beats. Do you do that with your daughter? Has she seen the music-loving side of you?
Yeah, I DJed her last party, and, I mean, we went hard. I had all the parents come back. We had, like, we made it a nightclub because she wanted a
at
dance
the house?
Party. Yeah.
Nice.
And so I told the parents when they got there, I said, guys, I'm not playing music with like expletives and stuff. I've got the clean versions, but we're going to go hard.
This
tonight.
Is going down.
That's we're going. Awesome. She wants a club.
Yeah.
And dude, I started an hour set and just, I mean, banged it. The whole backyard was just fucking. I rented these giant JBLs.
No way.
I mean, these kids
so
danced.
So you gave your daughter like her first dance party or like first party.
First nightclub party.
She loved it. We had 60 plus people in our backyard.
Oh my gosh. So you had a full on Faustino
Ranger
ballistics.
With little kids. Yeah.
And you had popcorn machines and.
We had.
Cotton candy.
Whoa, you're getting the cotton candy.
I'm coming
good
over
for
next
you.
Time.
That's awesome, Dave.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, let's end it with how do you want to be remembered as a dad?
Well, I'd like to be remembered as a dad, as somebody who listens to my child and who she doesn't feel like she has to lie to, even though I want to discipline my children because I feel like discipline is important, but it's that fine line of, like, you know, scaring them and having a form of discipline that works.
Right.
And I think it really comes down to, okay, you did that, so this iPad is going away now for the day. It's the consequences. But I would like to be remembered as a dad who inspired my children, and if it's not acting in the arts, like really, you know, help them flourish in whatever it is they choose. If Cassius chooses sports, I'm going to do my fucking damnest. And if not, I'll hire a coach for him.
Right.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Because I'll be banking that MWC money.
That's it.
We can't wait for that. We can't wait for our cameos on that show. It's going to be good.
Well, yeah. It was a complete honor to have you in.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of fun, man.
And
I'm glad we had to finally make it work out.
Yes, and I appreciate you coming
down.
I was
just doing everything today not to ruin anything. I was just listening the whole time going like, holy shit. It was great. It was awesome.
Good.
It's fun to see you guys interact.
What's your Instagram handle?
Okay, so on social media, on Instagram, I'm at David Faustino. Twitter, at David Faustino. Mm. And on Facebook, I'm Cy Duck, because my page was hacked.
Yeah, but nobody uses Facebook anymore anyway.
Yeah, so it was from Vietnam.
It's just posting like crypto shit.
It's just, they deleted like half my friends.
Yeah.
So I got the page back, but now they want me to do this whole, I do this questionnaire. And now they want me to do a video.
It's not worth it.
Oh my God.
It's
I gotta make it. A video. Oh, and I'm just like, yo, it's just fucking
the 65-year-olds can find you on other venues.
I'm just thinking about getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Together.
You don't need Facebook.
I don't like Facebook anymore either.
It's
I like
too
Instagram.
Personal.
I just actually post through Instagram.
That's
Facebook,
what I did.
So
Facebook.
Whatever. All right. And Chris, what's our handles?
Dad's Night Podcast on Instagram, and you can reach us by email at dadsnightpodcast@gmail.com, and we're part of the Believe Network, BLEAV, Believe.
Nice.
That's right, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Dad's Night Podcast, where ridiculous becomes
reality, baby.